Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing great, thank you. Another great week for It's the Real. Tell the people what's going down.
Well, first of all, last Monday we debuted on the Full Screen Network.
Where can you find that?
Fullscreen.com/It's the Real. You can see what you thought you could only hear, which is you can see our pasty, white, Jewish mugs talking to fascinating guests in our now very good-looking apartment.
It is really nice.
If you were ever wondering, what do the faces look like behind these nasally Jewish voices?
We look just as Jewish.
Yeah. I wear glasses, though.
I have curly hair. Just yesterday, we debuted our new episode with Charlemagne the God, who people know from Power 105.
In New York.
They know from the syndicated version of The Breakfast Club.
All over.
You know him from Guy Code. You know him from...
You can find Guy Code in, like, your 16-year-old high school weed dealer's bedroom.
Okay. You can find him on Uncommon Sense.
That's your 18-year-old.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can find him, on the Full Screen app, fullscreen.com/It's the Real. If you are just listening, listen, there's many other levels to this thing. Go download that app. The first month's free.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is the difference between listening to the radio and watching, you know, moving pictures in the 1920s.
Whoa.
Yeah. We have entered the Nickelodeon age.
You don't even need to put a nickel in there. You don't need to put a dime in there. This is for free for the first month.
If you want to watch the horse race around the track, you can go to fullscreen.com/It's the Real.
Yeah. Go do that right now. Also this week, we were lucky enough to be asked by E1 to host the listening party for DJ Drama for his upcoming album, Quality Street Music 2. Tell the people what goes on at a listening party.
A listening party is you take a bunch of journalists, you take a bunch of influencers, people around the city, and you put them in a room, normally like a studio or a bar.
Or a club or something.
Whatever. And you play the music. Now, normally people don't really listen to the music, though.
Right. They're there because the opportunity to get people excited about an album is what you really want to leave with, right?
Right. Like, you want to basically talk about the fact that you were there at a thing.
And so our involvement, we were asked by everyone at E1, that's Gabby, that's Los, that's Chris. Everyone wanted us to be there to bring some excitement to it and ask some questions of DJ Drama in between the songs.
You're not just, you know, you're not just pressing next.
Right.
You have us in the middle being like, oh, so
why'd you name it intro? Right.
Yeah.
So we get up on these couches. So we're, you know, heads and shoulders above everyone else.
Which we already are.
We're standing on these couches with DJ Drama, and we go through the intro. We introduce him. We pass him the microphone. He says, thanks to It's the Real for being here. Thanks for E1. Let's get into this first record.
And before we can even do that,
who shows up?
50 motherfucking Cent.
50 Cent walks in the room, takes the microphone from Jeff's hand, and then what?
Never gives it back.
He talked forever. And by the way, it was amazing. He talked about, he was throwing shots at Puffy for no reason. It's not like Puffy's on a song or anything. He just came in there and was just like, oh, Puffy's got Botox in his head and crazy stuff.
I mean,
he was like, he saw the cameras.
And he was like, this is my shot.
This is it right here.
We were still on the couch.
We were reduced to backup dancers.
Wallpaper.
The couches were not that big. There was nowhere for us to go. 50 dominated the whole thing. But the good thing is that we were in every single picture. We weren't smiling in every picture. We weren't photogenic in every picture, but we were definitely there next to DJ Drama, 50 Cent, Maino, and everybody else who showed up.
Yes. So the most important thing is that we got Instagram followers from it. You can follow us actually at Instagram.com/It's the Real. You can also go on Twitter.com/It's the Real, SoundCloud.com, a waste of time.
And by the way, if anyone wants us to host your event, we don't need to speak. We've set the bar right now. You want us to just show up and be in the background of pictures?
First of all, we're so tall, and we stick out.
That's right.
We're going to be in the back of your pictures anyway.
If you want to put our name on the poster and say that we'll be in your pictures, I'm down. You down?
I'm always down.
Let's do it. Today's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real features who, Jeff?
Angie Martinez.
Well, we can't just call her Angie Martinez anymore.
No, it's a New York Times bestselling author, Angie Martinez.
Woo! Angie just released her new memoir called My Voice. It's available everywhere. in bookstores. It's on Amazon. It's all over the internet.
Well, unless it's sold out.
Listen, even if it is sold out, go download it. Go just whatever you have to do to get that book, go get it.
Steal it from your library.
Well,
fuck public institutions and get that book.
All right, all right. But what's really special about today's interview with Angie is that it's not just Angie.
No. We got New York Times reader.
That's right. That's
subscriber.
Right.
Miss Info.
Well, so Angie and Miss Info are longtime friends. They are longtime friends of ours as well. And what you get today isn't just asking questions about Angie's book. It's you get a real conversation with the four of us. So we're just hanging out. You know Angie Martinez and Miss Info from Hot 97. You know Angie's at Power 105 right now. You know Miss Info from writing the 5-mic review in the Source magazine for Nas, for Illmatic. You know she's run MissInfo.tv, the source for all of your rap news.
And now she is a partner at the luxury sneaker retail website, sneakergoods.com.
And she's now hosting a new hip-hop show on the TuneIn app. Go get that. These are two industry veterans that we wanted to have on here for a long time, and I'm really glad that they stopped by.
So am I.
So, we are going to get into this episode, which you can not only listen to here right now, but you can go watch it on full screen. And when do you want to get into it, Jeff?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Pushing the V, a.k.a. the Mighty Ducks.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. a lot of N's, a.k.a. Vanna White's Nightmare.
Why is that?
So many M's.
A lot of M's.
Oh, carry on.
No, it's your turn.
Yeah. Oh, it's Angie Martinez, guest of the show, a.k.a. Miss Info's friend, a.k.a. Nico's mom, a.k.a. AKA author. Okay, you like that? I made that up on the spot, freestyle that.
Killed it.
What do you got?
This is Miss Info.
Yeah, this is a waste of time with this the real. Bow, 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 bow,
bow.
See, Angie's on board.
I wasn't gonna do it. Get on board, Info. Get on board. Stop being so smarky. Yeah, so, that's a downer. Wet sock.
Listen, here's the big thing. You do a wet sock.
Actually,
that's a good one.
That is.
By the way,
AKA,
so the AKA that Jeff came up for you
years ago, I said that a great female rapper's name would be Kelly Grippa, and you were like, I'm going to take that for my BBM.
Ooh, I should have took it.
No, but you did, though. You had it as your BBM name.
I did?
Yeah, for a while.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. We have like, I think you emailed us saying
life,
thanks
Angie.
Or something like that. Yeah.
It meant so much
no,
to me.
No, this actually is Angie's life. So
that is my life.
My voice, a memoir. Congratulations, number one.
Thank you, man.
Number two. So we got these today. Shouts to Rock Nation.
Just today?
Yeah.
Come
just today.
On, man.
We were on them for a while, and they blamed it on a wrong address.
Yes.
I think.
They sent it to somebody else. So
I was with you the other day. You should have just stole two that day. You would have been ready. So you haven't even read it yet.
No, we did.
Actually, you want to know what?
We spent all day reading it. So, like, we're
no
good.
No way.
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
by the way,
but
the first thing that I read in here was the acknowledgments, and I thought they were very sweet, including the fact that Minya
is Miss Info.
Minya is Miss Info.
For those new to the party.
Like right up front next to Shaka. And it was really, really nice.
Yeah.
Before Shaka even.
I feel like you just spoiler alerted me because I haven't seen the acknowledgments.
Are you kidding me?
No. I mean,
we have two copies. Would you like to see one of them?
Look at it. Read it now. Read it now. Live here.
Yeah.
Live here with our friends. It's
okay. Because, can I tell you why I haven't read it yet?
Uh-oh.
I think you need to be closer to the mic.
You do.
Yeah? Because, okay, the reason why I have not read it yet is because I've literally gone to 3 different bookstores, and I've gone to one bookstore twice within 1 week, and I've complained, and I've asked, and I've been nice, and I've tried, and it's always sold out. It's always, always sold out. Also online sold out. Which is an amazing freaking problem to have.
That's
Thanks,
a wonderful
man.
Problem.
It is an amazing problem. It is a problem.
When are they going to re-up?
Well, the problem is, so the thing that's so exciting but that you don't want to happen is that the day your book comes out, you have an alert from Amazon that it's out of stock.
Right.
Day of release. So you've been promoting for all these weeks for people to wait for this day. And then it's out of stock, day of release. So
they're chopping down trees.
So the immediate reaction is like, oh my God, that's amazing. And that what was equally amazing, or even more so amazing, was that so then all the buys went to Barnes & Noble. Then Barnes & Noble, so the first day in Barnes & Noble, I'm like number two behind Harry Potter. So it's like Harry Potter, Angie Martinez. That's what I said. Fuck Harry Potter. And then everywhere I went, it's fucking Harry. I went to L.A. It's Harry Potter that, the ride. Harry Potter this shit. Yeah, get out the airport. It's Harry Potter fucking billboards. I'm like, fuck him.
Yeah, where are your rides?
Right. I have no rides yet. Anyway.
Angie Land coming to the Bronx.
So then I'm like number two behind Harry Potter. Then I'm gone. I'm not on the list. Like 2 days later, I'm like, oh shit, nobody's buying it anymore. But the problem is Barnes & Noble sold out because they had everybody that... So now you can't get it online. And my publisher promises me as of today or tomorrow that they are restocking and whatever. But so all week of release, it was very hard to get.
It's just
a very nice problem to have, but it's very frustrating.
Yo, we should sell these.
Yeah.
You could do that. I thought about doing it. I had like seven in my house. I was about to put them on eBay trying to come up.
Out of your trunk.
Yeah. I was just trying to do a come up.
But, you know, it really reminds me of, over the years, we always hear artists complaining on the day of their release.
Not enough
that
copies.
Not enough copies of their album were in the stores, and that's why this number was this number, and we never believe that.
It's true.
Why should we believe it this time, though?
I swear.
I went to so many stores, and I just kind of looked at them like, it's Angie Martinez. Didn't you think that you should get more than 11 copies?
Well, here's what happened. So this is what I've been told by people in the world.
Okay.
Is that the book people, you know, them, mm-hmm. the book people.
They
look at somebody like me and they say, she's category hip hop. She's category Latina. She's category local radio personality.
Yeah.
And then so that determines how many books they buy, no matter what anybody else tells them, no matter my social media numbers, no matter how many years I've been, like, that's it. They go into categories and then they do a number based on that. And so the good news is that we busted through that number so that hopefully the next hip-hop book, maybe they might think twice. So that gives me great pride.
So can you re-up with the publisher for the next book?
No, for this book, we're still reading up. We're just starting to do this, getting to stores.
I'm a new contract with them. Show what you've done with this.
Yeah, Eric wants you to do a second memoir.
And also, I remember.
For the past 2 weeks, this is what happened.
This is what went down. And the four things I forgot to put in the first book. No, it's not even the publisher's fault. It's just, it's just proving yourself, I guess. So it's just part of it. But I'm really, honestly, beyond the books that have sold, which is, and that's what my publisher's always like, listen, I know you think it's a problem, but like, just take a moment to just acknowledge, like, wow. He's like, I've been in this business for a long time. You know, he made me feel better. And then he also reminded me that, you know, that we will, that this is a long, this is not first week. It's not album sales. Like, relax.
Yeah. Right. Yo, it's 50 only Cent's one not week. Making fun of you.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not a 1 week. And also, by the way, first week you did, you far exceeded expectations that anybody had. Not that we didn't believe in you, but trying to sell that to book people.
Right.
It's like, you far exceeded. So you've got everybody's attention. Look at it that way. And then also what I told him, I was like, the truth is like, yes, I'm fighting because I'm a fighter. So if I feel like something's not fair, I'm going to fight for it.
Right.
But the truth is, most important is that when you go to these damn book signings, my God, the way that people are receiving the book, that is like by far blowing me away more than like anything else. Like really connecting it, really like remembering stories, really like picking a page, like when you said this and quoting it.
Did
like
that happened in LA too?
I was just wondering.
In LA
that, yeah.
too, yeah. I told you she's gonna take over your interview if you
That's
don't.
Fine.
If you let
I
her.
Can sit back.
It happened in LA too.
Because I know you were saying that in the Bronx it was especially like moving.
It
but
was.
Then in LA was it a different
same
feel?
Thing? No, same thing. It was the same thing in LA.
How were you even hearing me? How did you?
They would listen online, or they just were a lot of the people from LA in store. Those people were introduced to me
through
the music.
Radio.
No, through music, and then we're like, oh, she's a radio personality, and then got to know me as a radio personality. That's a thing outside of New York, by the way. And so
that's so backwards, right? Like it's so weird.
For us it is because we're from here, but for them it wasn't. They're like, oh, I like her. I like If I Could Go, and then they're like, oh, she's on the radio too. Let me see what that's about.
What's online.
Also, yeah. And so the LA it blew me away too. Really.
So what
dope.
Is it? What does it say, man?
Oh, sorry. Carry on.
So in the acknowledgments of my voice, the third paragraph, mm-hmm. to be clear,
mm-hmm.
it says, to Miss Info and Shaka Pilgrim, who I trusted enough to share this book with before the rest of the world, thank you for being so dope and for caring enough to help me get this right.
That's pretty great. Oh! Minya's leaving with the book.
And this one's mine.
When did you guys first meet?
Oh, wow.
I don't remember. I have no clue. Weren't you? Well, I think you were always there.
You know what, though?
Right, the second
I
set of footprints.
I really wasn't, because I came in under very, probably not ideal circumstances, because I came in as a part of a morning show that was a temporary morning show. It was Sway was doing the morning show after a whole bunch of a Star and Buck Wild, you know, a controversy. So I was also never on the radio prior to that. Never had any aspirations to be on the radio. And definitely for all of the people who were working so hard to get on the air, I skipped the line and they hated my guts for it.
Who hated you? Who did it?
Well,
I don't ever remember.
Certainly not Angie Martinez, but I think that actually laid the groundwork for how I always perceived her, because when you are comfortable in your skin and comfortable with your skills and your integrity and who you are and where you're going, and you don't live with regrets and you don't live with a bunch of resentment, then you don't hate other people. And I rarely hear Angie ever say anything critical about anybody, except for like if they, you know, make a valid mistake. And then she's very understanding, like, but maybe they felt this way. Like, even in the book, you see that. And I'm not that good of a human being.
So yes, you are.
She never gave me that feeling of, bitch, who do you think you are to be here at the number one station in the number one market with no experience? And I don't think that I deserved that opportunity at the time, but when the door opens, you have to go through it. And eventually, I think I worked hard to be worth it. And I think that I wouldn't have been able to feel comfortable at the station if it weren't for people like Angie and Sway. Really Sway for bringing me in, but then people like Angie who are already established, not, you know, just making me feel like shit.
So you guys didn't even have like much of a relationship outside, or any relationship outside of
at all, right?
Totally different day, like times of the day. I mean, I'm there at 6 a.m. So it's hard.
I don't like to even know 6 a.m. exactly. exists. Exactly. I don't even like to know that it happens.
Right.
I want to come around and I want to awaken after this.
But even like, you know, like with the industry the way that it is, like everybody sort of ends up at the same places at night. You guys weren't, did you know like vibe and stuff like that?
Did I know what?
Like Minya's work and vibe and everything.
You weren't like mixing with the magazine people like that.
I didn't like to mix with magazine people.
There's levels, I got you.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I meet people all the time and I'm like, I think they're nice people. I don't necessarily know what everybody does all the time. Not somebody, I don't think that I knew who you are or all of your history.
You know what that also has to do with? The record industry was very different. There was a publicity department that was only for print media, and then there was a promotions department that was only for radio. Okay. So there were two different people who were responsible for entertaining two different parts of, you know, the
world.
Media. Yeah. So we never got to mingle. Until hot.
I'm not much of a mingler anyway, just for no reason.
That's a lie.
It's a lie? You're That's way more mingly than me.
Oh my God, I hate everyone. Are you
No. You go to way more like industry events, social events than I ever did.
Can we tell you the
do.
First time that we met,
that
Minya?
That is true.
At an industry event.
It was an industry, but it was a video game industry event.
Yeah.
Well, she would never have gone to that. Yeah, exactly. That's
right.
True.
We met Minya at...
No disrespect to the it was people like, who were there.
Guitar Hero 2 or together. Something like that.
Yeah, there it was Rock Band.
Rock Band.
I like a little Guitar Hero.
And we met Minya.
Now you're angry that you weren't invited.
Who was in charge of the list?
You know who's on Minya's like team or her like band?
Her band.
Yeah. I was playing Rock Band.
Oh. With?
With Horse.
From the Braveheart.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Star.
A very, very talented drummer.
See, that's what you missed out on.
I know. What the hell is wrong with me?
And the first time we met you was at Minya's birthday party when she did the karaoke birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And
In K-Town
with Joe Budden and
DJ Envy.
Oh, Joe Budden did Jodeci.
He did. Yes, he killed it.
In karaoke. Yeah. He was kind of amazing.
By the way,
I may have fell in love with Joe that day.
platonically,
of course.
Right, sure.
So we've known Joe a long time, and he's invited us to like pool parties and such, but we have never been invited to a like a game night at Joe Button's.
Yeah, because you guys,
we're friends.
You're not built for it.
You're not really.
We just want to experience it.
But I feel like you got to be real serious. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you guys would be making jokes, and you think it's a joke, mm-hmm. and like we don't really joke a lot.
Yeah.
Joe did say that you are the toughest out of everybody.
He should say that. Why are you surprised by that? And why do you say it with such a tone? I resent that.
Wait,
you
know, who that's cheated? Actually somebody why was cheating I don't really. I don't know, Kai's maybe? I don't know. Or, no, Irv, I don't know, somebody.
I don't cheat. That's one thing I don't do. I don't cheat, and I don't like a cheater. I will get up from the table and walk out of the apartment if I see you cheating.
Have you been, Minya?
Ange is a, not with Joe, because I think Joe bets, and I'm very stingy, so I don't think that I would do well in that. I mean, even like in poker games, I'd be like, oh, $5 buy-in.
It's just wild cheap.
Come on. But Ange is one of the most vicious, fearless, aggressive competitors in any game. I mean, it could be like shoots and ladders.
I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to be a better person.
Terrifying. Bowling.
Yep.
Poker.
Yeah.
Monopoly.
It's true.
What else?
Connect
well, because
four.
Here's my thing. Why?
Dominoes.
What are we not doing this for fun? Like, if we came to play, we came to play.
No.
So.
We really are there for fun.
No, we're not.
We're actually sitting around eating pizza, watching the boxing match.
We're not.
For fun.
We're not. That's a game you go to. When I go play Monopoly with like Joe Button or Irv Gotti or
but
something like that.
We're at your house sometimes, and it's like, oh my God, I'm not going to survive. I'm going to die here.
Yeah. And it's fine. You could eat brownies and sit on the side and have a glass of wine or something.
Right.
But here, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, no, I know. I have gotten better over the years because I have consciously worked on it because it was used
therapy.
It really has. I had to consciously be like, okay, let me just walk away from the table and be gracious. Let me not say you suck. That's because you. You know what I mean? Let me not.
Except
do
when
that.
You watch your son play sports.
Yeah, no, I'm super aggressive there. There's some games I have to sit out, quite honestly.
Really?
Yeah, because there's some teams that the parents are out of order, and I
ooh.
And I choose. To not engage.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not embarrass my child, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying, sometimes. So I have to, like, keep away from certain games or certain...
When do you have to intervene? Like, when do you have to
no, because people
defend him?
Well, at any time anybody says something crazy to him, yeah. I have to defend him. You can't talk to him. He's a kid. Like, you can't... I don't care what the game is. Like, do not talk to my child. Talk to me, lady.
But that's kind of the thing that I need to like, learn. Because you all there's also a fine line between you speaking out for... your son and your son just kind of being able to handle it on his own or?
And you getting arrested.
My son can handle it on his own with other children.
Oh,
I'm so talking about parents out of order. Like fam, like you cannot talk to somebody's child in an aggressive, nasty tone without the other person's parent feeling some type of way. It really gets crazy too. It really gets crazy and wild. And I'm a competitive person and I'm even competitive during his games, but I also would never talk to somebody else's child or say something negative to somebody's child.
That's crazy.
So when Puff went and like threatened the UCLA coach because his son was being yelled at or whatever, you felt it was...
Well, I don't know the circumstances
of
that, so I don't want to jump out the window. I don't know what happened, what he said. I don't know. Well, you know, I have never gotten to the point where what did he hit him with something?
He threw a kettleball.
That's right. Kettleball. I have never gotten that far, is what I'm saying. But I do
But have there been kettleballs
but
around?
I know. I am not in no way defending Puff. I don't know what happened there. I don't know the specifics, but I do understand the feeling of somebody violating your child and you losing your motherfucking mind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that part, I do understand.
Right. Well, Minya's son is already, like, you know, a refrigerator with a head.
He's
going to.
He is.
He will take down any adults or...
Punches me in my face every morning. Good morning, Ma.
No, did you see the size of her child?
Yeah.
He's the same size as her. He's what, one? He's one.
Turned one.
If he was sitting here, he'd be like right here. Next
Still can't talk,
though. It would be her, me, and then him, like right here.
I didn't give birth to him. He was just wearing me as a backpack. Yeah.
Is it public, the size of your child when he came out?
Yeah, 10 pounds. 10 pounds, 1 ounce.
This little thing...
And
delivered a 10
and
pound
tell
baby.
The people that what happened to everything that was bought for him.
Oh yeah, he had to skip. We brought him home and like everything that I had washed, folded so nicely,
oh, like the
cut off all the tags.
Size like 0 to 3 months is
zero
a wrap.
Three, a wrap. I had to go buy 6 to 9.
Right, sleeps in a king size bed. Like, yeah.
He's phenomenal. I love him.
How's your one been?
It's been a very interesting 1 year, right? Like, it's the most fun that I ever had. I also feel like it's super cliche, but I was around and I was living and I was doing things, but I really didn't have like a purpose. You know, every purpose was very like for the next week or maybe for that year. Maybe I had a goal that I wanted to, you know, get to a certain job or something like that. And now I feel like, oh, that's what I've been around for all these years is for this little rugrat.
He's so cute. Yeah. He's so cute. Anyway.
How has your parenting been? Is it everything you thought it would be? Did it change you as a person?
Very much so. Yeah, I think I'm a more kind of level-headed person than I used to be. Don't you think so?
Except in Monopoly.
I didn't know you before.
You've always only known me with my child?
Yeah, I didn't know. I only knew you with young Nico.
Oh, I feel like I know you forever. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to say.
I've learned a lot from Angie as a mom, though. So what's interesting is before you have a kid, you don't really think about kids that much. Like, you don't think about what you're going to be like as a mom. At least I didn't.
I never think about myself as a mom.
Right. Really? You should. Yeah. Prepare a little. Yeah. Spend some time.
I've been very maternal.
Broaden your thoughts, okay?
But Ange is also kind of that type of mom who would bring her son around and talk to him like a normal person, not like a little child. Never heard any, like, baby talk.
Oh yeah, I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Nothing like that. So yeah, it was a new kind of parenting. And also she would tell me about situations where she had to discipline her son and did it in a way that I just wish that I knew more parents who were disciplining their kids that way. Very fair, but not a lot of hand holding and not a lot of, like, I don't know what you would say, pussyfooting around. Like,
yeah, no, I hold him accountable, I think, yeah, for himself. So his decisions, and if we have deals, agreements, we'll do a written agreement on things. And, you know, I'm trying to raise a responsible, thoughful
human being. I think he's also aware, too, of the world that you live in,
mm-hmm,
the blessings that he has, you know, and I think that's really hard.
You said that he's over Instagram.
Yeah, I'm so happy. I was so worried because when he asked me for Instagram and he asked me for Snapchat and I said no and no. And then some time passed and I see all his friends have it. Wow. And then I see even some of his, like, some family members that are even younger. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm basing my thoughts on how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And I'm basing my thoughts on what I think is the right thing. But let me go back. Let me revisit. Let me talk to him and get his feelings, because I also don't want him to feel like, so, like, I'm missing what's happening and all his friends are talking. I don't want him to feel like that kid. Yeah. So I went back to readdress it with him to have a conversation. And he was like, no, I'm over it. He was like, I see with my friends and they spend so much time. And I'm just, wow, like, he's like, over it.
You didn't tell him that likes are equal to happiness?
I thought about going that approach. But I thought, no, maybe that's not such a smart thing.
You're thinking short term.
Yeah, you're right. And so far we're good. So I went back to readdress him and he was like, not pressed.
Not even about Snapchat. Because it seems to me like,
no, he didn't want it. He's more wants to play video games than he cares about being social media. He wants to watch YouTube. He wants to watch people playing video games on YouTube.
Oh,
that's his, like, yeah, all of that. No, all of them. Chris Smooth, all those, like, he's into that. Wow. He knows them by name. He knows how many followers they all have. He is in it. So yeah, that's the problem I have as opposed to social media, and I'm okay with that.
Was he named after the hotel that you stayed at in LA?
He was.
During the Tupac interview?
No, he was not.
No, it's spelled differently, but you both.
Oh my god, that was true. He's such a mind bomb. I would have probably had to leave the room. Oh my god.
Because I did stay at the Nico Hotel.
I know. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, how did I never piece this together?
Right. And these two idiots get right. It. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I just liked the name. I don't know. I heard it somewhere. I liked it.
So,
but, you know, if you want to go with that,
let's run with that.
That gives you some context to the book. Yeah.
No, we need headlines out of this interview. Yeah.
Use that!
Yeah.
Angie Martinez reveals.
Yeah. So, Roc Nation set up this event where coinciding with the book, Angie would lead this tour around New York City on a double-decker bus.
It was so weird.
And whose idea was that, Angie?
I think it was Jana. It was either Jana or Yana. I don't know. It was weird, but it was kind of amazing. But you say what you think.
So, well, the first thing that happened was we were told it was at 44th Street, and we're like, cool. So we show up at 44th Street, and then we hit up Roc Nation, and we're like, there's no bus. There's no people here. They're like, oh, yeah, because it's 41st. We're like, not what it says in the email. Fine. We go down to 41st. They tell us to go to Broadway. Anyway, three different places later, we stopped. We eventually get on the bus.
That's excellent.
You showed up, and you were just like, hey, The Real is here. And we were like, no, it's The Real. The Real is your friend, Adrian Bailon. Fine.
I know.
Fine.
Okay, fine, fine.
And then you came on the bus, and we were so excited to see you. And you were,
what the hell is the difference between It's The Real and The Real? It's abbreviated. It's no, the shortened version.
If you try to search for The Real online, you will get everything else.
So you're salty because they took your shine?
No, get salty when Eric people email us.
Yeah. Well, we get people hitting us up asking, why can't we get Adrian Bailon to perform at their niece's quinceañera?
Like, no, you didn't.
Yes, we did. All the time.
Yeah.
And before Tamar
and so, wait,
left.
Really? This makes you salty?
We are nothing like those women on TV. Like, you
are a little bit, though.
We're driven.
That's right.
We have conversations that are smart and engaging.
Yeah. Right, there's five of us.
Yeah. Yes.
So you got on the bus, and then we took off, and we were going to head to places that meant something to you around the city, the Palladium.
Yes. We started at
Bryant Park,
mm-hmm. which is where the whole Tupac part in the book comes. So right. We started there. Mm-hmm. Then we drove by the Palladium, because I tell a story in the book about that. And would you imagine that nobody on the bus really knew of the Palladium?
I mean,
well, everyone on the bus was 17. So.
Yeah, they weren't 17. They were not.
Someone was from NYU, and she was just like, oh, yeah, that was my dorm.
Yeah, didn't know of Palladium. Yeah. It was interesting. Okay, carry on. Carry on with your story.
I loved how we were driving by, and
I almost
every
got
so
killed
often,
by a light.
Jeff would have to be like, tree. And
or like,
I saw it on Snap. I saw it on Snap. Yeah. It was crazy.
It almost took my life, the bus.
And also, Angie would get into conversations that were longer than, like, seemingly it would take to get from one location to another.
Well, no, the bus driver was not on the same page. So, like, Angie would be like, we already passed, like, the Palladium. Yeah.
Well, it was back there.
Yeah. But it was fun. And then also we had a guy that was next to me that was actually just giving like regular New York tour guide facts. So in the middle, like, of my, this is where I ran into Pop, and then this is where, and then he'd be like, and did you know that the Empire State Building used to be the tallest?
Yeah. Or like, what ethnic groups are the most like populous
in
this area?
Why did they feel that you needed to mash up both the,
we were just time
tourists,
filler. It was no, it worked. I think
we
it
went
worked
for 300 blocks.
Yeah.
We had to fill time. Then we went uptown and got Mofongo.
We did. We stopped on Dykeman.
Dykeman Street.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was
did pass by your grandmother's or your grandfather's place.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we went down Dykeman, and then
Fat Joe and Remy came on the bus.
Yeah. Which was very nice.
We had Mofongo.
People started screaming for Fat Joe and Remy. Yeah. Also for you. But somebody threw his number on a ball,
like a handball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And threw it onto the bus.
But wait, what was the best thing that Fat Joe said right when he got on the bus?
He said, "How's the Mofongo?"
No. He did say that. No, he goes, he said, "Yo, Ange, did you know Bette Midler used to live up here?"
Yeah. I didn't know that. And then immediately the tour bus guy was, I know, like, oh my God, Bette this
Midler.
Guy's coming to my job.
He was like, another fact.
That's hilarious. That I didn't Bette know Midler. That.
So we've never like formally sat down with Fat Joe, but I feel like he's in this position now where he's like, this unbelievable wave in 2016 has made him just like very comfortable with himself, where he was like just sitting in the back enjoying and like talking and just, you know, espousing facts about Bette Midler and whatnot. Yeah.
But like, that's, I thought so that was random.
I thought it was so nice, though. He just seemed like very real in that moment.
Well, I always know Joe to be that because I have a relationship with him. But I do think he's very comfortable right now. And I also, that day kind of lended itself to that, because it was one of those days where you're like, you get on this bus and there's no like script and you're just kind of freestyling. So you're just sharing and talking. Then Joe gets on and he's like, well, where do I sit? He doesn't really know. So he just gets in where he fits in. It was a kind of interesting day.
I'm sure
he
also didn't look at it as a gig.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like,
well, how much did you pay him to be on the bus?
I paid him one Mofongo.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I mean, this guy, whether people aren't figuring it out until now or not, he has always been the greatest storyteller in hip-hop.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Bar none. And he's also been, had a whole nother life that he's created. That existed before this year and before All the Way Up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's just kind of like, happy.
Yeah. I always enjoy when artists of a certain age who have had like a very distinguished career don't have a problem with talking about everything they've done to this point.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I love Busta Rhymes' whole catalog, and I want to hear about all that stuff, but he doesn't want to talk about stuff that has happened before. He wants to talk about stuff now. I love Bun B. Bun B is one of those guys who will talk about like whatever and like his whole career. And I feel like Fat Joe is one of those guys who's like, yeah, I experienced a lot.
I think something happens. You have to get to a point where you're comfortable with the fact that like you're either a certain age or you have a certain kind of like, you know, there used to be this thing in the business where it was like once you got to be a certain age, you like weren't relevant anymore. So I think Busta comes out of that you know, he's been around for that type of, so I think he may still have some of that. And I guess we all have to an extent. It was always like this fear. I turned the corner where when I realized like, wow, I actually have some shit to share that could actually help other people. And by the way, I'm confident enough to know that I'm not finished. Like I still have things I still want to do.
You have signed a contract that says you're not finished.
Yeah. I have they're contractually obligated to keep me working for a little while longer. But also I have like, you know, I feel like I got a lot. People asked me the other day, like, when did you feel like you made it? I'm like, shit, I still don't feel like I made it. I still feel like I've had some great experiences, but I still don't feel like I've made it. So having that understanding, it makes me feel comfortable to tell you about what I was doing 10 years ago or however many years ago. And I'm okay with that. But I do understand Busta, and I do understand that mentality because it was always drilled into our heads. Mm-hmm. Like, once you get to a certain age, you can't be in hip-hop anymore because it's a culture of the youth, which really, it's not. It's just a culture. You don't turn a certain age and not feel connected to it anymore, by the way. You feel connected to it forever. And by the way, if you only have one age group or one perspective, then the culture is cut short. It's like, it's not full because you don't have perspective. You don't have history. You don't have, you know, experience. So you need all those different voices. And it's even more important to have voices that are still in it.
Yeah.
That also can speak to when it was maybe better this way or maybe when it was worse this way and have like a fuller perspective of it.
I can't really speak to that because I'm only 21.
Mm-hmm. I understand. But, yeah. I understand.
Going on 12.
Yeah.
But I think that that's actually a lot of what J. Cole refers to in the intro.
Yeah.
He, you know, for somebody so young, he definitely has this very mature, very wise grasp on how important it is to see everything that happened before and to put it into context and also to weigh how valuable it is and that you can't really move forward unless you have, unless you've learned
and you
something.
And you don't have to be 23 to be dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's okay. You can be dope at 43. You could even be dope at 53, believe it or not, and 63. You could be, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to feel like the best of you has been. I don't feel like the best of me is behind me. I still feel like I'm going to do something. I'm going to continue to grow. I feel like the best of me is in front of me.
Yeah, you have a second memoir coming out.
That's right.
Well, then I have to do enough shit to make another memoir. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to do more in my career in order to be able to write again.
I don't think that you're that person that talks about the past at all, though. So that's why, like, you can write a book if you're not already living in the past every single day.
That's the difference, though. Don't live in the past.
Right.
That's how reflect a lot of artists
and have moments.
Stuck. Yeah,
I'm having a moment now of reminiscing because I wrote this book, and so I'm in that kind of like retrospective kind of. A lot of the interviews want to talk about that, but in my real life,
never.
Right.
Not because I'm shy of it or hide of it. It's just because I'm in the, you know, I'm trying to create new things all the time. I'm not trying to be like, well, I had this really great interview in 1997. Yeah. Do you remember it? Let me pull it up on my phone and show you in case you forgot. You know.
The end of that bus trip, by the way, it was around 191st Street because you were like, yo, what time is it? And I'm like 2:04 and you're like, I'm supposed to be on the radio right now.
You went all the way up. Why didn't you just make it a round trip so that you could end up where you needed to be?
So it was supposed to be. Yeah. But it's 2:00 and we're in Washington Heights because the fungal took mad long to come out of the store. So we're like 30 minutes sitting on Dykeman in this thing with this bus with my pictures and Fat Joe on the top for like 30 minutes.
Were people trying to get on the bus?
No, but they were just coming over and saying, it was cool. It was like totally organized and totally fine. It wasn't no big deal.
So
but
what happens if you're not on the air?
Like, they just play music till I get there. But it definitely, that was my book launch day. Ideally, I would have been at work in time.
Sure.
But I was late. Thank you for blowing me up. I was late that day.
Well, you guys got off the bus and jumped into a Sprinter, and Jeff and I were like, well, this is it for us, too. We're going to jump off and just ride the subway down to our place.
You didn't want to take the bus? Okay.
They were not going to stop at our place and like let us off.
Right.
Can you guys talk about your favorite DJ Enough memories? Because we've had him on the podcast and he was like so wonderful. He talked about how he hung out with you even before you guys were on the radio together.
Yeah.
He talked about what Minya meant to the station when she was there. Can you guys talk about Enough?
Huh. What is?
Can you ever talk about DJ Enough?
No, no.
I know. Is he going somewhere? Is he leaving? Where is he going?
He's actually right around the corner.
I know, yeah.
He is. I just adore him. Like, adore him like if we have same blood. Like, Enough in my life feels to me like somebody who is my cousin. Mm-hmm. That if I don't see him for 6 months, it doesn't matter. Like, he could come. If he called me today and was like, Angela kicked me out the house, I'd be like, okay, Nico, go get the extra blankets. Mm-hmm. Uncle E's coming over. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. I feel that connected to him that I could not speak to him for 4 years. And I just love him forever. And he always has, it's always open, going to be open door. So I think, yeah, we were friends before he came on the air. Then we did our show together. And we just cut from a similar cloth. Like, I feel connected to his family. I feel connected to his son. And so we built, he used to call me his work wife. We built a certain rapport with each other that, like, goes beyond what we do for a living. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's just, you know, I think he's great at what he does. I think, you know, I don't know. What else do we say? Do you mean personally or professionally? What are you asking me to say about Enough?
Whatever. Whatever. He said that you guys would ride around, like, late night going to, like, White Castle.
Oh, yeah. Why is that strange?
No, nothing strange. It's sweet.
I like a little, it's just nice. I like a White Castle crinkly fry. I like a little crinkly fry from there. Yeah.
I've never had White Castle.
Shut your face.
Okay.
Really? That was Jeff asking for an invite next time you and
Yeah, how
go,
come well, like, everybody's yeah. getting invited to go to all these places? I never get to go to White Castle.
You can't go to Joe's. Yeah.
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 Well, maybe you should start looking within. Looking at yourself. The problem.
Yeah, maybe you're the problem.
Yeah, Eric's getting all these invites.
I think I would say about E, I want to say something that is contrary to what everybody else puts out there. Because it's yes, it's true. He's literally the nicest, funniest, warmest.
He's like the most non-industry person, too. Like, he's not.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He never, I mean, he's never going to be that person who's thirsty.
You want to say something bad about him?
No. I want to make sure that people understand. He has a crazy temper, though.
Yeah.
E, when he gets mad about something, he will, like, he'll talk shit, like, and the person is right there. I've seen it happen. I saw
he can't
it
control
at the
himself?
Station, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's going
that, whoever did that deserved
that's
it
then. That's what I'm saying.
100%.
Anytime that ever happened, when he would go off on somebody, and they would know it, like, that he was pissed off, I'm like, well, that person clearly deserves it and needs to rethink their life if DJ Enough is mad at them. Mm. But just for everybody out there in the world, don't think that he's this nice guy.
That shit is sweet.
Exactly.
I think shit is sweet
exactly.
out here.
Shit is not sweet. So I feel like I did him a favor.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the idea of you guys doing
it? It's still
podcast?
Happening. Oh, we're just lazy.
Okay.
No, we're not lazy. We're just trying to figure out the time. But we also don't... You got a lot of goddamn podcasts out here.
Yeah, but there's different lanes. Like,
all right, so tell me all the lanes.
Okay.
So we have you... Right.
Yeah. Well, we are in our own lane.
What's your lane?
Generally, it's
you have a lane. What
yeah,
is it?
It's funny.
Oh,
they're in the comedy genre.
You're in the comedy lane.
Supposedly.
But you're like in the comedy hip hop lane. Yeah?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
All right. So then we have
we have been slightly broadening.
Then we have like Nori and like the drinking hip hop.
Okay. Yeah.
Grand.
So that's like insider stories from like the '90s and yeah.
Okay.
That's which nostalgia. Which
tremendous.
But isn't like the also that's Combat Jack without the alcohol? No.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then also there's
so they operate in a similar lane.
Rap radar.
But they have very different voices though.
So listen, we're not going to talk about anything from the '90s.
No.
You and I on our podcast.
I don't even remember. Remember.
Me too. It's so hard for me when they ask me all these questions. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, I don't even remember. Okay, so that lane is out.
We're not in the nostalgia.
We're not going to go in your comedy hip hop lane.
Okay.
Okay.
We're also not in the fake life coach. Nope.
We don't want to be a Yanla and a Yanla.
No, we're not fixing anybody's life.
No disrespect to
not on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah, not like...
I would like to fix a life.
Not in a judgmental way. Like,
no, right.
Not in
right.
I want to fix a life, okay?
But through example, because we've learned things.
Fine. Okay, right? So who else we got?
Juan Epstein. They're more nostalgia, too.
Nostalgia.
A lot
hip-hop,
people in that lane.
Culture.
Yeah.
Tax Stone.
Also nostalgia? No.
He's from the streets.
Yeah, right. He's more of a street angle, but also hip-hop. also tends to do a retrospective conversation.
It's true. But so Memphis Bleek was on Taxes, way different than when Memph was on
Combat Jack.
No, when did you do Combat Jack? I think you did Drink Champs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was amazing in its own right.
I'm a little offended that Drink Champs hasn't invited me on. Should I?
No, you should be.
Because
Miami.
And I enjoy a cocktail. I do enjoy a cocktail.
You need to go down
alcohol
there.
Alcohol and Nori.
Do you think I could go on Drink Champs, though, and only drink and not talk about the 90s? Could we do that? Is that optional?
No. So I'm not a producer on Drink Champs.
Oh, sorry. No, but you're a podcast guy. I'm coming to you for advice.
Yeah.
Because we too. What would be funnier is if I go on Drink Champs.
Oh.
Because as a non-drinker.
Yeah.
You will pass out.
Hilarity would ensue.
So we're trying to figure it out.
Okay.
But I will say there is a lack of representation from the women.
It's true.
In this category.
Yes. And this is where you
There's
could
really. There's Angela Yee, but her podcast is very.
X-rated.
Wait. No, I was going to say specific.
Very specific.
Is that not what you guys would do?
Well.
Again, I don't remember the 90s. So I can't remember all those things that happened.
Well, how about this from the 90s? There's an amazing picture that everyone knows.
Can we call our podcast that not the 90s podcast?
I kind of like
anyway, carry
that'd
on.
That'd be great.
Okay,
no, the great picture of you on a motorcycle.
Anything but the
90s.
You really were riding motorcycles back then.
Murder Minya.
Oh, yeah,
Murder
yeah.
Minya.
You know, I think that because I lived a pre-Instagram life, I was able to make a lot of wild choices that maybe I have scars, but they didn't stain. That's the way that I kind of look at it. Like,
right.
You could make mistakes or do things that were probably not the smartest idea.
But you can go on about your life.
Yeah, you could go on with your life and then end up having a kid, you know what I mean? Being semi-respectable or pretending to be so.
You have art on your walls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're very refined.
Yeah.
You could fuck up without having a meme
right.
about it. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, I survived a lot of wild. I mean, from growing up in Chicago, I was wild in Chicago.
Well, can you tell the story about your sister and the library?
Wait, can we bring Myrna Minya back as a name? Why didn't you use that at the beginning of the show?
Wait, it's not too late.
Oh,
yeah.
AKA Myrna Minya.
Yes, that's amazing.
What was it? Oh, yeah, I was not the nicest older sister. I mean, I was a lot of times hanging out in the south side of Chicago, just being ratch. I mean,
when you were supposed to be looking after
when I was
your
supposed
sister.
To be babysitting. I had like a moment where for my prom, my boyfriend at the time got locked up a week before prom.
Things happen.
Who are
you? Know.
So I went to go visit him at county and he said,
aww.
And I cried and he said, okay, well, why don't you go with my homie? So I went to prom with some fellow gang member of his. And he tried to feel me up.
No.
And then I went and told my boyfriend when he got out.
And he killed him.
And
oh, sorry.
What is the statue of liberty?
Yeah, right.
He didn't kill him, but it was an ugly scene. So, yeah, I had some very questionable life choices. But I made it.
You did. You got out of Chicago. And you came to New York and lived up in Harlem.
Yep.
And the other night, who did you run into outside Barclays?
Oh, at the Bad Boy reunion show, I saw Dee. From Rough Riders.
Aww.
Who, anybody that was in Harlem for a lot of the time in the 90s, late 90s, would know that he was like the mayor. He was up there all the time, riding around multiple entourage cars, caravan of big trucks. And Swizz was there, and he had his Benz truck, and they were just balling out. But he was so nice. He was always kind of looking out for me. So I would be in like a sketchy area in like a very short dress or something like that. And then he would just pop up and be like, you all right? You good? And I'm like, I'm good now. I feel much better
He's like
now.
Your guardian angel.
Yeah, kind of like a guardian angel.
I love guys
still,
like that.
He's still like, I see him, nothing but love, so warm.
You guys connected because you rode a motorcycle, so.
Yeah, yes.
Bike gang.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
But there's people who, I mean, we would bump into, especially if I was kind of mad that you weren't around for that show. Just because there were so many people that I haven't seen in so long.
Since the 90s.
Like who?
Remember Slim, who was always with Bad Boy?
Kinda.
Light-skinned guy, skinny.
From 112.
No.
Yeah. Let me tell you what I'm like.
No, yeah, not him. But I saw him.
You like that?
Mm-hmm. And I saw...
Can you do Only You?
No.
It was an incredible collection of
Can you do Cupid?
Memories.
I could, but not natural. Total. If you would have had wine, I would have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have drink to, champs. Okay.
I need to be rewarded for my foolishness.
Nori, that's your cue. You want a full...
I'm highly offended, by the way. But I'm happy to be here, though. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Good clean up.
Yeah.
So you want us to have a podcast, do you think? Will you feel worried?
Are you?
Will you be intimidated?
Listen.
I'm not a podcast listener. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah. What? I don't really listen to podcasts. Eric does.
I do. And I would listen to your
podcast. You would
podcast.
Listen to ours?
I would probably listen to your podcast. I don't really have the attention span for podcasts.
See?
I feel like you have to...
young blogger.
Are you even interested in the conversation we're having?
Exactly. I've checked out the entire time. I'm just like...
It's on TV.
Yeah. It's just a man like pushing a wheel in my head.
That's right.
So how do we...
By the way, that's the only reason I've done all these podcasts. It's not because I want to promote my book. It's I'm watching you. I'm trying to steal from you what I think we could do. It's all in plotting for me and Info.
By the way, it's not even like in competition with radio. It's just another avenue to sort of like to be able to talk.
Competition within the podcast.
I see that.
People seem to not like each other.
Right. I mean,
I mean, people don't like each other.
You don't like it. You don't like the other ones, the other guys.
I don't like Eric, but other than that, I'm fine. Yeah.
How about you?
Jeff's all right. Okay. He's all right.
But the other podcasters, do you like them?
We've had most of them on.
Yeah, we've had Joe, we've had Tax, we had Peter, we had Sife, we had...
Yeah, is that begrudgingly, like...
No, not at all. We want their audience. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
No.
Imagine if, like, radio worked like that, where you could just invite the other morning show on and just be like, hey, and welcome all your listening audience.
Well, okay, so... It was a huge deal when Power started because Hot was the...
Only hip-hop station.
Yeah. And they took a lot of hot talent that wasn't working at Hot anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came a little closer, obviously there were shots thrown. But I feel like that era is sort of like not really... besides the morning show issues.
Right.
I feel like it's not really a thing anymore. Like, do you...
It was never a thing for me.
Not for you.
I never really got involved in that. And I think, you know, you get to a point where it's like... I think everybody's grown up a little bit. And not just in age, but I mean, everybody realizes like, okay, none of us own these companies. We're all just radio people, right? And so
employees.
I think when it first happened, it was such a big, oh my gosh, competition. And it's so, you always want to pit people against each other. It's just the nature, unfortunately, of, I don't know, the world, the universe.
Yeah.
I don't know, but people just want to do that.
Right.
Listen, if I was like, still making music, I was a rapper, right? And then all of a sudden there was another Puerto Rican girl and she started rapping. Guess what everybody's gonna wanna do?
Pit us against each other.
So when you have one hip hop station, another one comes, it's just the natural thing. But after a period of time and you start to see actually they're two very different people or they're two very different, then it's like, okay, they're just really all radio people. And it's like, yes, there may still be little jabs here and there just because it's a fun thing to do for some people. But ultimately, nobody's really thinking about each other when you show up for work. You know what I'm saying? I'm not.
I think there are people that know how to use beef as a tool, but they don't necessarily look at the long game. And I don't think that, you know, over time, beef just ends up making things awkward because nobody, at least in 2016, stays in one company for their entire life.
Right.
Yeah. You're going to come in front of all these people.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
The same people that you see on the way up, you see on the way down.
I was worried, though, when I made the change, how it would affect certain relationships. How? Because it hadn't been done. So nobody that's, like, friendly with somebody from the other station because we were put into that mindset.
Well, even, like, Ebro's reaction was, like, outside of what I think you expected.
Yeah, because also he was probably... You know, he was probably thinking about all types of things, how it would affect him and how. And also, I think he just didn't want to see me go. And, you know, also all of that stuff was happening. And also, he was blindsided in his defense by it. So I think he just reacted in his natural aggressive Ebro way, which I talk about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it doesn't mean he doesn't wish me well. It doesn't mean he showed up at my book party. He was at my book party the other day. We've been in touch, you know, since then. You know, I don't see him as much. It's not like we go to events together. It's like anybody you work with. If you don't work with them anymore, chances are you see them less.
Yes, right.
But it's not because when I see you, I'm not happy to see you, or it's not because all of a sudden I don't like you and you're the enemy because I work somewhere else.
Right.
But it's like, you know, if you work at whatever, if you work at the bakery downstairs, the guy you make bread with all day, when you go uptown and go work uptown, you're not going to see him as much. It doesn't mean that you're not happy to see him when you do. And then there's friendships that, like Info and I, who are we were beyond the station anyway. So when I left, I was not even remotely worried about.
Not even for like I. It's like it didn't even make a difference.
How did each of difference. You know when it was time to leave Hot 97?
I talk about it, and it was a process of me understanding that I had this like fierce loyalty to something that didn't even exist anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like fiercely loyal to what I grew up in and what we built, and then all of a sudden it was so different, and I remember starting to feel stupid. Like things started happening here and there, and I just was like, I don't even what am I doing here? And so it made me want to understand what my options were, and really it just started as that notion, what are my options, and then from there kind of evolved into actually this option might be a little better for me. And I'm, you know, so I just got to the point I was okay with it. I think for you it was probably different, but
I think
it's because I left, right? You wanted to go too. Mm-hmm. Keep it real.
Well, I will say, and this is actually a problem, it's maybe not a problem, it's just a characteristic of myself. I'm just like this with blinders on until somebody taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, by the way, this room is not really as nice as you think it is. So I think having some conversations with Angie a couple years ago kind of opened my eyes about how things might have changed, how the mood or the feelings, you know, at the company might have changed. But then I also started questioning myself, when was the last time I was listening to the radio? Did I own a radio? Things like that. And I knew that I was always living a different life also, because I was always online. So more so than anybody else at the station, I was an internet person. So I guess it took me a while to really think about how I wanted to do radio, and I love talking, but I feel like it shouldn't be limited to whatever the tri-state area is or whatever the case may be. And I think that syndication, you know, like everybody knows Ange, whether it's in LA or whether it's in Miami, where she's on the air also, and it just needed to be bigger or wider or more accessible. So I don't know, I just I also wanted to just do new things, and I think that change is something that you're so scared of, but the worst thing is for change to happen to you instead of you making change.
Yes.
When change happens to you, it's the worst, scariest.
That was my thing. Yeah, I didn't want change to happen to me. I'm going to be in charge of my life and my changes. You're not going to change things around me, and I have no choice.
Right.
That's the worst thing. That could happen to anybody, by the way. It's
And it happens through life. I mean, there's always times where you take a L, and then you have to scramble and get back up. But, you know, if you've kind of been able to see the long picture, then you want to make some changes for yourself. So,
Angie, you talk about in the book too, you thought about not coming back to the station after you had your son.
Mm-hmm.
What was that process like?
Well, also, you know, I have been busting my ass since I was 18 years old with no breaks. Like, it's one of the things I learned a lot about myself, by the way, writing this book. But that was one of the things, like, damn, you really was out here grinding for a long time.
You don't realize
it
until
you look at it. Like, you look at it back, you're like, wow, that's great. Wow. In the moment, you don't. You're like going and you're charged and your goals and you're ambitious and you have passion and all that. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wow, I did that for those many years. But I think at that point, when I was pregnant, so much had happened. I had done the music. It was like so much. And I was pushed. I've been to the hospital for exhaustion. Like, I pushed myself so hard that I was just like, I don't want to diet when I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I want to eat whatever the hell I want. I don't want to work so hard. I want to just take a minute for myself. And so that was it. I didn't know if it meant going back to 97. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew I needed to sit my ass down for a few minutes because I hadn't for so many years. So, so technically I wasn't ever on maternity leave. Technically, Emmis probably still owes me like maternity money because they never paid me for maternity leave. It was just kind of like my contract was up and I left.
I mean, but that during that time, nobody even talked. You wanted to. I feel like from observing both artists and friends and relatives, nobody wanted to even acknowledge that they were having a baby and maybe needed time.
Nah, that's true. I didn't care about that. I wanted to
get back, you know, keep your position.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't feel like that, but I didn't. I wasn't thinking about it at all. I was thinking about me for the first time. Like, what do I want to do? Let me just take a minute and see if I want to go. Yeah, it's weird, but it's important, and and necessary. And that was, and then, you know, that's another thing. You know, I know I talk about some of this stuff in the book, but it's the truth. So it's like I can't remix the truth to tell you now. Yeah. It was, you know, I was underpaid for a long time. And that was, and then you have a baby and you're like, I mean, it was cool for a while because I was just so grateful to be there. But now it's kind of like I'm a real grown up and I have a kid and like, yeah, I got to stop paying me what I'm worth out here.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised that, you know, because you talk about all the things that you were doing outside of the station and also like that they weren't paying you as much as you should have been. And it's like, why did you stay? It was just blind loyalty. Like you were an artist. You were doing all these things that took you away from that.
Yeah, but I was already like 1 foot out of the artist thing. I think when I had my son, I just realized because that trying to be an artist and be on the radio at the same time literally was like killing me. Like I was exhausted.
Right.
And so, and it didn't come natural to me. It wasn't like was like Jay, you could go in there and just off the top spit four songs. You know, it was like a song would take me 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was like exhausting and really hard. It didn't come natural. So I just started to already kind of have that realization like this was cool and I learned some stuff, but it's like, it takes too much of me for what I'm getting back. So I'm going to stick with the radio thing or, do with something that, especially with a kid, you know what I'm saying? I can't be on the road like a struggling artist trying to, you know, be in the studio all night, not with a baby. Anyway, sorry. Carry on with your question.
Please give us a good summer jam story.
This shouldn't be that hard. Come on. Stop it.
I mean, it was fun. It was wild fun. It was always like a reunion.
Yeah, I will say the last summer jam. So the last summer jam that I attended,
that's crazy.
I already knew. Nobody knew.
That's crazy. Right.
Only me.
Yes.
I'm talking about me and like two people at Clear Channel or iHeart now.
Right.
Nobody.
So
I'm at summer jam knowing this is going to be my last summer jam, but can't tell even my dearest friend.
You know, that makes me terrified of you. It was not, there was nothing abnormal about it. It wasn't like she got up there and then just took an extra moment just to soak it in.
I did, though.
But we couldn't.
You didn't see it.
We couldn't tell. Yeah. We didn't see you crying secretly in the corner, something like that, what a normal person would do.
Did Angie keep saying to you, this is not my last summer jam?
I didn't mention it.
See you next year.
But there was a moment, I remember it. So I'm like, I'm absorbing everything because I know. And sure. So I'm like on stage. I definitely was like, you know, I always would take a picture of the crowd. I definitely. But I also didn't feel like sad. That's how I knew I was so ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, this is it. And I'm okay with it. Like I did this many times and it's amazing. But I've done it many times. And so I'm ready to move on from this. This is a great experience. The people are still going to be the people. I'll just may see them in different places in different ways. But there was one moment where I was like on the side of the stage and you were there and Enough came over and he was like taking pictures and something about just looking at E and then you were right there. I definitely felt like a wave of like,
like I
lost my breath for a second. I got like a little misty, but nobody knew why or whatever, but it was just something about you and E and us on the side. And it was like, he just looked so happy and I just felt like something happened, right? It was like something that happened to me for a quick second. But other than that, like the whole day, I just felt like you, like it was just normal. And so
and happy. I mean, it was always a very happy.
Yeah, for the most part. It would get stressful sometimes, but.
Lots of disorganization. And I think that we were also usually in this one lounge area. So we kind of had it. We had it good because we were in the air conditioning, and then all of the artists would come into that room to kind of just say hello or sit down and go on air.
Yeah.
But
I feel like I witnessed, I don't know, I feel like we saw so many versions of it that I feel like I did it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that? Like I don't feel like, oh, I missed that.
Yeah, no. I mean, but I don't feel that way about anything.
Right. Were you ever nervous to go out on stage?
Like, she always was.
Oh my God.
I mean, but that's like, that's
we had to have like, you. We would have to have like full on pep talks on the side of the stage.
Oh my God. Her and Mr. C. Mr. C was the first one to literally drag me out there. And I think the only way that I survived is by looking at him and not looking at the crowd at all. And there's something about me. I just feel like I want to run away, but I would just kind of focus in on Ange. Just talk to Ange. You can get through this. And
you're such a weirdo.
That I can run off, I am out of there.
In regards to the music, by the way, and I feel like I feel like you having written this book has sort of like changed your mind a little bit about how your music, the impression you left with people, because I think you always thought it was like something so far removed, and you're like, it's not something you would talk about later on. Okay, we grew up listening to you. We loved when you were on the radio before you got pregnant. We missed you while you were pregnant. Aww. When you came back, it was like, there's a lot of moments that we shared with you listening.
Right. Mm-hmm. Ladies' Night.
Ladies' Night. Like, I remember when you had Pitbull on Ladies' Night. Like, when he was really rapping, like Pitbull. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And you got, you were talking about, remember. Like, you're like, yo, you got crazy eyes. Like, we would listen on Friday nights.
I think
like,
Tom Cruise was on there.
Yeah.
That was the time.
Yeah. But when you put your music out, that was something like really exciting for us, and we, with no irony, loved If I Could Go. And by the way, whenever we like aux cord DJ, or a friend of ours will aux cord DJ, that goes on and is part of the set list, like, not even kidding.
Right.
Now, when we were at Minya's karaoke birthday party and the first time we met you, we did tell you that, like, if they had it in the book, we would have done that with you there.
And but you said that you would have killed us.
You would have killed us, yes. Yeah.
Shot you down.
Yeah.
Down
yeah.
At
but
the karaoke spot.
Great song. We thought we loved everything. I mean, we're hip hop nerds anyway, so we're like, oh, like Animal House, that's gonna be crazy, and like her, you know, the whole
so
like the label situation, and we're like,
that's so cute.
Everything about it was great. Isn't Sicario your Facebook friend?
He is.
Yeah. Is he? Yeah. He's my Facebook friend too. And, okay. And we follow each other on Twitter.
Okay, gotcha. But
If I Could Go was a good song.
No, great song.
Yeah, it was a good song.
Do you feel that way now? Because for a while you wanted distance from it.
I just don't want to hear it, man. It's like if you do a great show at your high school talent show, you do not want to see that video all the time.
Oh, definitely.
Listen,
they want to see
on
it
on replay.
It's fine and it's cute. It's not that I have a problem. It's just like when you walk into a party and people, is that my phone? That's so freaking rude. I would kill somebody for doing this on my show.
But it's a podcast, though.
Oh, that's fine. It's a podcast. Should I answer it? Yeah. That would be wildly rude. Hey, girl, what's up?
Oh, nothing.
What's up? No, I don't. You know, it's like you walk into a party in 2015 or 2016, and I don't want to hear anybody's song from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't interrupt the flow of the party to play If I Could Go.
Also, right, you
like
want to hear a damn thing.
And I'm supposed to be hype. Like, come on, fam. I wanted to continue on with the future set.
Honestly, I always felt that way. Like, oh, when an artist comes into a club and then the DJ immediately turns on like a greatest
awful.
Hit of all,
it's
and then
awful.
I'm cringing, but they're not.
No, it depends what artist.
They're like, yeah, that's right. And then they want the DJ to play.
No,
all
I never
songs.
Attention. I never wanted
music.
To happen. Yeah. I never wanted to happen.
When Joe Budden was on the podcast, yeah, when Joe Budden was on the podcast, he said that he went into some hookah lounge with like a bunch of women, and he was like, "We're gonna play Cisco's Thong song." He's like, right. "I just want to hear it. Like, I'm just in that mindset." Mm-hmm. So he charges up to the DJ booth. He's like, "I want to make a request." He was like, "I want to hear Cisco's Thong song." And he's like, "I got you, Joe." Right? And he walks away. And what does he start playing?
Pump It Up.
Nope.
Marcus Houston Clubbing.
Yeah, remix
with
Joe Budden
on it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so Joe's just like, oh, like now everybody thinks that I has to hear my 2001 feature.
That is funny. That's what he gets.
That's what
he gets
for
trying to be for going to a hula.
Yeah.
Or for asking for thong song.
I also saw on
By the way,
of course you
by do. The way, Joe and I have been to we have a little spot that we go to.
In
to
Jersey. That's that
we
Jersey
enjoy
life.
We enjoy a mint hookah. We enjoy a little mint hookah. You know, he doesn't drink, so I have a cocktail. We enjoy a hookah. It's you should try it. I'm saying, don't be so narrow-minded.
I will.
Yo, listen. Yeah. At the Bad Boy show.
I'm going to go. what time is it anyway?
At the Bad Boy show, when Mary came out.
Yeah.
And it was just everything. She turned the place, like, upside down.
Yeah.
Well, it was outstanding.
She also, there was a clear distinction between people who have been performing a lot lately.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And people who maybe have not been doing that many
but
shows.
But Carl Thomas killed it.
But Carl Thomas killed it to the point where you're like, oh, he must be on the Tom Joyner cruise every year.
Yeah.
Like, he's out here performing.
Yeah.
Like, he's out here.
112's dance moves were not in coordination.
They were good. They were good. I was really looking forward to Total. And
yeah.
They had a lot of
audio
sound problems.
Yeah.
But then when they didn't have the audio problems, I was like,
I thought Puff got better as the night went on.
For sure.
I saw footage of Total the second night, by the way, and they looked much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so because probably they hadn't not seen each other. They probably hadn't performed in a long time.
There was probably like no rehearsals.
Yeah.
Mina, do you feel the same way as Angie might have felt about the about her song as you did with like your review for the Nas album, where people are just like, here's one thing I know about you.
Oh.
Let me bring it up every chance I get.
No,
but that's a cool, really cool thing to bring up.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, no.
For those of you who don't know, my dear friend Murda Minya over here. Mm-hmm. Was the one who to review Nas's Illmatic album.
Oh, there's another AKA, Shorty. Yes.
And by the, with the alias Shorty.
Yeah.
You have mad...
I do have some...
Names.
Yeah, you can't complain about the AKAs if you have a million of them.
I need names. Shit. Anyway, so she gave him 5 mics in the source, which at that time was a very big deal and kind of set the tone.
Also, Nas killed it the other night.
I don't feel the same. I wasn't, like, running away from it the way that Angie was kind of like... Well, I feel like she's re-owned her catalog, but... Mm. I wasn't running away from it because it didn't come up until like 20 years later. Like for my entire career, no one even connected me with that except for like a real hip hop nerd, like Questlove.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else was mentioning it. And it only came up because when Nas put out the Illmatic anniversary album and then NPR, and then I did an interview with NPR about it, that's when it finally, like, people found out. And then I was like, oh, yeah.
That's a pretty cool stat. You should put like 5 mics on your arm, like a tattoo. Yeah. That would be so hot.
Okay, I will.
You see Illmatic underneath it?
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot to talk about NPR when we were talking about...
What?
Oh, a podcast?
Podcast, yeah.
What about it?
I don't know. We referenced everybody else, so we left them out.
Well, I mean, they also do so many other things, but yeah, I do like the fact that they have like a podcast
I did
network.
A mic check.
Oh, that's a good one.
I did that one.
That's what I did.
That's really good. Mm-hmm.
Good. Good, yes.
And they also have, like, WNYC has, like, a whole network now, and I listen to those, the new one that they have, Two Dope Girls,
mm-hmm.
which is really good.
Yep.
So,
damn, we could have had that name.
I know.
Two Dope Girls is Jessica Williams,
Yo,
right?
Come on, you guys are funny. Give us a name. We need a name.
We need a really
a
good
name. Podcast name. I was going to go with, like, Bad Bitches on Deck, but they already had that, right?
So who has what? That?
By the way, if you guys did a home improvement show, it'd be awesome if you were Bad Bitches on Deck.
Yeah.
No, they're from Living Hip Hop. There's already a girl, on the show.
Yeah.
On a Scott show?
Yeah.
Might be on that.
Anyway. Yeah, I remember Mona Scott.
Yeah.
You know her? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did that show. You know, it's so
show,
funny.
Yeah.
Like, people wait their whole, like, work so hard to get on TV. We were on TV. I wanted to kill myself.
It
changed
every day.
Nothing in my life. Like, literally, it's like no one even knew that it happened.
By the way, the story in the book made me laugh so hard.
Which one?
When you were just like, you whispered to Minya right before you were about to start killing
me. Kill me.
Yeah, kill me.
Oh, that was a recreation of a repeated event. Some days it was, punch me in my face right now. Punch me right now. I'd be like, okay.
You know who you would really upset with that, besides Angie, if you punched her in the face, is the continuity people who are just like, well, what happened?
Her face is so swole on one side.
If so we had just had a show where we were just sitting around the middle console talking shit.
What a wasted opportunity.
Well, that'd be a podcast.
Yeah.
Before all the podcasts were popping off, before it was the same year as The Real started, it would be its own thing right now.
Agreed. It'd be amazing.
But then it wouldn't because
but it wasn't
we'd
up,
all be in
but
separate
the
places.
Thing is that it wasn't up to us. We were just kind of trying to play along, and we were trying to be team players.
Yeah.
The moral of the story is don't ever be a team player.
See, you're really out here trying to help people.
Yeah.
That's my...
Also, is that what you tell your son?
That's my yonder for you today. Fuck team playing.
Go for yours.
Go for yours. Be out for self.
Can you...
Wait, how many people have heard the Tupac interview in full?
Maybe a couple handfuls. Maybe a handful or two. Not too many.
Have you heard it?
No. Have you digitized it?
Yes.
Oh,
that's
good.
That's a really key.
I actually have.
And have multiple copies of it?
I have a hard drive. I have it on my actual computer. I have it on a cassette. I have it on the reel-to-reel, which is the original form that I originally edited on.
That was pretty wild when you're talking about cutting it with a razor blade and everything.
Yeah. That's how I edited it.
Yeah, sure.
And back in the old days.
Electricity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jeff wanted to know what kind of relationship you had with Ed Lover.
I love Ed. He hit me the other day. He has a show too. He has a radio show, so I'm supposed to do his show. And then he was there also when he got my when he stole my dream interview.
Yeah.
That's a good story.
Wait, how
that's
come?
Such a good story.
It is
though.
A good story.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who haven't read it, it's about.
Well, why the hell haven't you read it?
Right.
Because now it's available on Amazon.com. No, it's back. Today they got them back on Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com and read it. Then we'll tell a story after
but
that.
It yeah. is an no. incredible story, so don't miss it.
Wait, but how come? So you're friends with Gail King.
Well, yes.
He has wild friends that it's like, wait, you're friends with who? Really?
Well, because you say friends, it's not like we go to the mall together.
No.
I adore Gail, and I think she's a great lady, and she's been, like, wildly supportive of me. Like, I would run into her. I think the first time I met her was, like, at a Jay concert. And I went up to her because she was doing radio at the time, and I was like, I've heard your show a few times. Uh-huh. You sound really good. She was like, oh, my gosh, Angie Martinez. Yes, well, that's a compliment. You know, she was so generous.
Fans. Honestly, they're fans. So you don't really acknowledge it that way, but you'll be like, oh, yeah, and I'm friends with Jessica Seinfeld. And then I'm like, yeah, she's a fan of yours.
I didn't say we were friends. I said we were.
She follows you on Instagram.
I said we were Instagram friends. I said we were Instagram friends is what I said. But
you follow each other on Instagram.
Yeah, but I like her. I've never hung out with her. But I think she's funny and I like her.
Stans. They're all stans.
We're stans for each other though, so it's okay. But
somebody was first.
but Gail was you know, she's been great, man. I asked if she would come host my first book signing, and she did. Not only did she come, but she came with her book with, like, notes on every page, and she had very specific, and she was, like, about her, you would think she was coming to interview, like, the Dalai Lama or something. Like, she was serious and focused, and she came in, she had questions that she wanted to get to, and she wanted to make sure that we had a certain, she wanted to know if we could have, like, pictures. Like, I was like, Gail, it's just a quick book signing. But I appreciate how serious she took it. And then she posted some really great stuff about the book on social media, which I thought was really dope. And so, yeah, she's a fan of the culture, so I'm not that surprised. And
she's also, like, just, I just think she's a success story that is really, it's really encouraging for a lot of people, because she's that person who kept her head down and just worked hard and probably got dismissed by so many people as Oprah's, you know, like the equivalent of the hip-hop weed carrier.
Right.
But she was like, no, but I have things to offer and I'm going to keep working. And then now she's super successful on her own.
And she follows Angie on Instagram.
In a classy way.
Yeah.
And she's a fan of Angie, so...
But I think Jeff was wondering.
Stop it. She's not a fan. She's just a nice lady.
How do you pivot, like, that friendship into an interview or something with Oprah? Or is there
I just don't.
You've never broached it?
That would be tacky.
I mean, she read the book. She knows how I feel about Oprah. I have never brought it up to her, not one time. I think once I said, like, jokingly, like, well, she knows the story of Ed Lover. Mm-hmm. You know, the story in the book where Ed Lover gets to interview Oprah and I want to kill myself, pull over the side of the road.
That's what the name of the book should have been.
Yeah, right.
Or the podcast.
Yeah.
Ed Lover got Oprah and I want to kill myself.
Yeah, listen.
With Murder Minya.
Yeah.
Murder Minya.
It's pretty good. It's a maybe. It's a possibility.
It could happen.
There's no bad ideas.
Yeah. No. By the way, if anybody's listening to this podcast, feel free to hit us on social media or comment if you have any suggestions about what, if we ever actually do a podcast,
you have to
Info
do it,
and
though.
I.
You have to do it.
If you can give us some names and some suggestions, that would be helpful.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Jeff, where can people find more of these episodes just like this one?
If you want to actually watch the interview that you just listened to, you can go on fullscreen.com/It's the Real.
Do that today and get a full month for free.
You can also now watch the episode with Charlemagne the God.
It's live.
It's live.
It's lit.
So lit.
Where else can they find the audio version of this podcast, Jeff?
If you want to listen to this and not actually see what our apartment looks like, what Miss Info was drinking, what Angie Martinez was wearing,
You can just go on soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. You can also go on iTunes. Look for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If you want to follow us on any social media, we are usually It's the Real, except for Snapchat, which we are It's the Real, and It's the Real Eric, because It's the Real was taken.
Gotcha. Well, as always, you can rate, subscribe, comment on iTunes and SoundCloud and Google Play if you have one of those, like, I don't know, that heavy phones or something like that.
Yeah, if you've got a phone that looks like a calculator, go to Google Play.
Because we're there. Please, tell a friend about A Waste of Time with It's the Real, because, listen, we're making moves out here. Jeff, do you have a friend you would like to tell?
I do have a friend. But first, you should go.
I have a friend that I want to tell. His name is Dave Gordon. You know him as Just Dave. That's J-U-S-D-A-V-E-E. That's two E's at the end. Dave is a great dude. We see him all the time, a loyal listener. He's got a lot of friends. He's a very friendly guy. He should make it a part of his introduction when he talks to new people. Be like, hey, my name's Dave. This is what I do for a living. And you know what? One of my interests is listening to A Waste of Time with It's the Real on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, and I like to watch it on the full screen network. Jeff, do you have a friend that you would like to tell?
Yes. My friend is Nico. So Nico hit me up on Snapchat.
Yo, he hit me up too on Snapchat.
And he sent me a video of himself blowing smoke into the lens.
I got that same one.
And when I opened it, he said, oh shit, I didn't think you'd actually open it.
I got that one too. Sorry to make this impersonal, but I got those same snaps.
Anyway, if you can let Nico know to keep sending great snap content.
No, Nico is the one you're telling.
Right. Oh, no, I'm telling. Well, Nico should tell people to send me great snap content.
Okay. And listen to the podcast.
Always listen to the podcast.
By the way, we're very serious. If you want us to host your event, snap us. Get in touch with us. Where are we on Snap?
We're at It's the Real, and It's the Real Eric. It's the Real was taken.
Yeah, Jeff is not stuttering when he says it's the Real.
Yo, fuck whoever is It's the Real on Snapchat.
Yeah,
who's squatting.
Can we listen?
I want to find you.
Not only tell everyone about our podcast, but get some pitchforks. Get some, like,
lanterns.
Some burning sticks, and let's go find whoever is holding on to this handle on Snapchat.
I'm going to find you, It's the Real.
Let's do that and have another good week.
All right.
All right, bye.